Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Bible John was an unidentified serial killer who's believed to have murdered 3 young women between 1968 and 69 in Glasgow, Scotland. What drove this crazy person to the horrible depravity that they engaged in? And how were they ever stopped? And more importantly, who was Bible John? Today, the disturbing story of this figure today on the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Each of Bible John's victims were young brunette women, between the ages of 25 and 32, all of whom had met their murder at the Barrowland Ballroom, a dance hall and music venue in the city. The perpetrator has never been identified, and the case remains both unsolved and one of the most extensive manhunts in Scottish criminal history. The murders committed by Bible John would proved to be the first time in Scotland in which the Crown Office authorized publication of a composite drawing of an individual suspected of murder. This unidentified serial killer became known as Bible John due to his having repeatedly quoted from the Bible and to have condemned any form of adultery while in the company of his final victim. The known movements and modus operandi of convicted serial killer and rapist Peter Tobin have given rise to suspicion that he may be Bible John. First murders that occurred was on Patricia Docker on the 23rd of February, 1968. The naked body of a 25-year-old auxiliary nurse, Patricia Docker, was found in the doorway of a lockup garage by a man on his way to work at the Carmichael Place Battlefield, Glasgow. The location of her body was only yards from her home in Lakeside Place. Her body bore evidence of extensive blunt force trauma, particularly to the face and head. She'd been strangled to death with a strong ligature, possibly a belt. Docker's handbag, watch, and clothes were missing from the crime scene. Her clothing was never found, although her handbag was later recovered from the River Cart by an underwater search unit, whereas her watch was recovered from a pool of water close to the scene of her murder. Extensive door-to-door inquiries in the area produced a witness who recalled hearing a female scream, "Leave me alone," the previous evening. Little hard evidence was discovered at the crime scene. Nonetheless, an ambulance man who retrieved the body informed the investigators the victim had been a nurse who worked at Mearnskirk Hospital in nearby Irvineshire. Consequently, the victim was formally identified by her father the following day. Docker was a married mother of one, but estranged from her husband. The night of her murder, she informed her parents she would spend the evening dancing at the Majestic Ballroom in nearby Hope Street, although for unknown reasons, she had chosen to spend the majority of the evening at the Barrowland Ballroom, likely to attend the Over 25s night, which the venue hosted each Thursday. When she failed to return home that evening, her parents assumed she had spent the night with a friend. Police inquiries would only determine several days later that, in the late evening, Docker had left the Majestic Ballroom to attend the Barrowland, where she had likely encountered her killer. A postmortem conducted by Gilbert Forbes at the University of Glasgow Medical School confirmed that the cause of death had been strangulation, and that Docker's body bore no clear evidence of sexual assault. Furthermore, the stage of rigor mortis upon her body at the time of discovery indicated she had likely died shortly after she had left the Barrowland Ballroom. Investigators surmised the perpetrator had likely grabbed Docker before repeatedly punching her and kicking her in the face as she twice screamed, "Leave me alone!" He had then proceeded to rape Docker before strangling her to death and leaving her naked body with nothing but one shoe nearby, close to the doorway of the lockup garage at Carmichael Place. Then there's Jemima MacDonald. On Saturday, the 16th of August, 1969, a 32-year-old mother of three named Jemima MacDonald was opted to attend the Barrowland Ballroom to spend an evening dancing. MacDonald was a regular attendee of the Barrowland, and as per family custom, her sister Margaret O'Brien took care of the three children in her absence. As midnight approached, MacDonald was seen by several people in the company of a young, well-dressed and well-spoken man of slim build, aged between 25 and 35, between 6 feet and 6'2 inches in height. This individual had short, dark brown hair with fair streaks, likely spoke with a distinctive Glasgowan accent and occasionally inserted brief biblical quotations into his conversation. MacDonald was seen leaving the Barland shortly after midnight on the 17th of August in the company of this individual and was last seen walking towards either Main Street or Landressey Street in the direction of her home. At approximately 12:40 a.m., O'Brien became concerned when her sister failed to return home. Later the same day, she began hearing local rumors that young children had been seen leaving a derelict tenement building in McKeith Street discussing a body in the premises. By Monday morning, O'Brien was so concerned that she herself, fearing the worst, walked into the old building. There she discovered her own sister's extensively battered body laying face down with her shoes and stockings lying beside her. The postmortem concluded MacDonald had been raped and extensively beaten, particularly about the face, before she had been strangled to death with one of her own stockings. Her murder had occurred approximately 30 hours before her body had been discovered. Unlike Docker, the body of MacDonald was fully clothed, although her underclothing had been torn, and like Docker, she had been menstruating at the time of her death. Police inquiries into MacDonald's movements on the night of the murder produced several eyewitnesses who were able to accurately describe the man with whom she had been in the company of at Barrowland. Door-to-door inquiries on McKeith Street also produced a woman who remembered hearing female screams on the evening of MacDonald's murder, although this individual could not recall the precise time. Consequently, police consider this information of little use to their inquiry. While the City of Glasgow Police noted several striking similarities between the murders of Docker and MacDonald, including that both women had attended the Barland Ballroom on the evening of their murder, been beaten before being strangled to death with a ligature, were menstruating, and had their handbags taken from the crime scene. Initially, both murders were not considered to be the work of the same perpetrator. Despite extensive public appeals, the investigation into the murder of Docker had quickly become a cold case. Police had little information, owing to both the lack of witness and hard evidence. The investigation had also been severely hindered by investigators discovering 3 days after her death that Docker had attended the Barland on the evening of her murder. 18 months later, following the discovery of MacDonald, police became aware of remarkable similarities to the murder of Docker. Although police did not conclusively link both murders to the same perpetrator, they could not completely discount the theory. In addition, police were certain the perpetrator, or perpetrators, held a high degree of local geographical knowledge. However, they may have been a stranger to the district, as none of the eyewitnesses with whom investigators conversed directly knew the man or men seen in the company of either woman prior to her murder. For the first time in Scottish murder hunts, a composite drawing of the man with whom MacDonald had last been seen alive was given to the press, being widely distributed via both newspapers and upon television throughout Scotland in efforts to identify the suspect. Moreover, both male and female undercover police officers performed discreet surveillance at the Barland Ballroom in efforts to identify the suspect. Police surveillance at the Barland Ballroom would be terminated in late October of 1969 due to the initiative failing to produce any suspects. Detectives were also blamed by proprietors for a sharp decrease in attendance figures. And there's more. Helen Potick, which we'll get to in just a moment. It is the dark side of Wikipedia. Today's topic, the man or the character known as Bible John. If you like our program, please become a supporter. Sign up over at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. Get access to the entire episode here, including our final chapter, as well as all of our episodes in their entirety, final chapters and advanced episodes. Months, weeks before the release to the public. No ads, all commercial free. That's how we keep the show on the air. So if you like us, please check that out at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. And give us a review there on Apple Podcasts as well. It's Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode. Thoughts thus far on this very dark case?
Very dark. And at that very, very end segment, when the cops go in and they're undercover, obviously two women were killed who had both been at the same place. And they're pissed because you're hurting our business. Well, maybe the murders hurt your business.
It's not necessarily the police coming in and going, this is us, let's try and hurt their business. It's like, no, I'm sorry. The shit going down is what kind of hurt your fucking business.
Right. The fact that a couple women got murdered after they'd been at your establishment.
Yeah.
That might have hurt you a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, actually, if I knew that cops were there, that's why I would go back thinking maybe it would be more safe.
Yeah.
If they are there watching for people like that. But, you know, you hear stories like this. And so many women, you know, we've gone to bars over the years, we've met the wrong guy, and, you know, I don't know one girl who hasn't been in some kind of weird situation from a party or a bar or something.
Sure.
But you think, man, it just isn't, I don't know, but for the grace of God, you know, because those women weren't doing anything different than any of the other women.
No.
You know, they went to go dancing. It's just an innocent night out. You're going to go out and maybe meet people and have some fun.
Yeah.
You just never know. It's so sad.
It is. I mean, it's disturbing when you hear these stories of, you know, these people. And it's a very different perspective, you know, from a guy, because I can't say that we experience that to any level of frequency that you guys, you know, do. You know, there's certainly weird, bizarre women that I've come across in my life, but it hasn't been so. There's not usually the rapey aspect of it, you know, where that's something that as a man you need to be super concerned with. But there is that with women, obviously, and there's so many creepy, weird guys. I think the only thing I've able to say is from a guy's perspective, and I don't know what it is. And in some cases, you can't see it. Nobody can see it. But I don't know if sometimes the guys who are not rapey, I don't know if the guys who are not rapey can see the rapey guys better than women can sometimes. Because I feel like that sometimes when I've been out or whatnot, and it's like, and I'll see a woman like being really like into some guy who's like it's just giving off vibes of like, this guy is fucked up. He's kind of rapey-ish the way he's talking. And I'll like be with a friend or a girl who's a friend, not like a girlfriend, but it's like, why are you into this guy? Like, why? Like, he's so creepy. And I've seen it so many times where it's like they kind of throw themselves at this type of character. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck is going on here? And not that it always ends that way, but I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's an intuition thing, if guys can just see this and go, look, I would never treat a woman this way, and this is why that guy stands out to me more. I don't know what the fuck
that is. That's a little bit of it, because you're not that type of person.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think, you know, a lot of times there's alcohol involved.
Sure.
I don't know about this club, if they had alcohol or not,
yeah.
But, you know, there's alcohol involved. And then, you know, a lot of people are lonely and the guy says the right thing. Or, I mean, hell, I don't know how many guys I met in bars when I was younger. And, you know, oh, he's so good looking.
Yeah.
Like, And so here, what if he's a warlock? I mean, he's really handsome.
And here's the thing, because I've always been like the nice guy. I've been the nice guy that gets like, you know, oh, I'm going to go out with him. And it's like that I'm sitting on the sideline. And then it's like next day you talk to the girl and you end up being the friend. And it's like, oh, he's just treating me like shit. Like I could have told you that like months ago. I could have fucking told you that. I did tell you that months ago. And it's not like saying like he raped you and I said I told you. So that's not at all what I'm saying whatsoever. No. I'm just saying like he treated you like shit. He was a bad guy. But it's like there's that whole thing. And from the nice guy perspective, as having been that my whole life, it's frustrating as hell to a guy where it's like, look, I would treat you really well. I'd be really good to you. I'd be really nice. Like, why are you going for this type of character over here? I don't know what it is. Is it like an instinctual thing? I think it's I think it goes down to like uber masculinity. And when it comes down to uber masculinity, and we're going to just like caveman type features here, the guy who's like just a dick and an asshole, I guess, you know, if we're talking just instinctual, sure, he's the one who could kill the tiger off in the corner, but he's also the one that's going to treat you like shit for the rest of your life, too. So we're not doing that anymore. We should probably not just go for those guys. And many women don't. But I just, you know, when you're younger, that's what you see a lot of, like in your 20s and things like that.
Well, and this is a whole nother probably podcast kind of topic, because this is a really interesting topic to me to pursue.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a lot of things involved, but I do think there's a lot of self-esteem issues with women and, you know, and there's a lot of guys, I'm just telling you, that know the right things to say.
Well, and there's a lot of self-esteem issues with guys too, like me. The nice guys have the self-esteem issues. And that's where we're not the ones that are out there just being dicks and like, you know, like just throwing it up, because it's like, who the fuck would respond to that? Well, apparently a lot of people would respond to that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing we don't realize, because it's like, it just sounds so absurd in our minds. Like, you can't say that to a woman. They're going to fucking hate you. Like, oh no, it works for these assholes, but there's still, you can never like quite get your mind around to being that person. And
but usually those guys that are being like that, like there's some other things going on. Like,
oh, sure.
Okay. Everyone does it. Like, he's charming. I mean, he did say, you know, he was kind of talking about my butt and it being kind of big and not, you know, whatever. You let that shit go because he was being charming and he's nice. And it's just weird. And I think a lot of times it, you know, with age comes some clarity.
Yeah. And I agree. In no way am I doing any sort of victim blaming or shaming. I'm just talking about the dynamics of men and women.
I totally get what you're saying. And who knows what happened in the case of these women, but it's just, you know, we all know that scenario. You go out to have fun.
Yeah.
Drinking in a bar. Like I said, don't know if there's alcohol involved in these, but they went out dancing. And if you're out dancing, you're meeting people and, you know, it was an innocent night out and somebody's, for whatever reason.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times in my early 20s and whatnot, I'd be out with like friends and girls and it would be like, oh, it's really going really good here with this girl, like who's a friend. And I kind of was hoping it'd be more than that. And then all of a sudden the asshole would move in. And then she goes home with him. And then like the next day we're out at like the fucking Mexican restaurant having, you know, hangover lunch. And like, oh, he was such an asshole to me. I can't believe I blah, 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 blah. It's just like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck? You know?
It makes you feel any better. My roommate in college was really pretty. Mm-hmm. She was just gorgeous. I loved her. We had the best relationship. So it wasn't a problem between me and her at all. But she was gorgeous. And we'd go out together. And I'd think I'm getting kind of cute and got a cute outfit on.
Sure.
And guys would literally come up to me. And I'd be like, oh, my God, he's been watching me. And then he'd come up and he'd say,
who's your friend?
Yeah. It's like, hey, I was wondering if I could get your friend's phone number.
Jesus. Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times that happened with me and her.
Yep.
And it wasn't, she was just kind of a flirty, fun person. It was just her personality.
Yeah,
and
there's
I'm
nothing
like,
wrong with
really?
That. And in theory and in with normal good people, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with being flirty and all that. That's cool. It's just there's so many shitty people out there that that unfortunately we miss.
There was more than one night I'm like, I just want to go.
Yeah.
This is not fun for me.
Sure.
I just wanted to come have fun and not give my phone number out, because that was when we only had one phone in the house.
Sure.
We didn't have cell phones.
Yeah.
They all went my number to call her. This is not right.
No, it's that whole, you know, young and dumb dynamic that we all go through. And that's the perspective from the nice guy I just gave you there. So again,
you are a nice guy. Like he's saying about being a nice guy is legit true.
I'm not victim shaming by any means. I'm just giving the perspective, because no one deserves anything that happened here, and nobody would ask for any of this. I'm not speaking on those terms. It was more just a lighter conversation on the whole aspects of dating and things of those natures.
Yeah.
But I will say this, at almost 40, it kind of comes around. It gets better. people are like, hang in there. It gets better. It does. It gets better, because eventually you show everybody up and it's like, oh, you see, yeah, I was the one you should have gone with all those years ago. Oh, now you want, okay, yeah. So.
Well, too late now.
Too late now. But yeah. Let's continue into the story as we get into Helen Puttock on the dark side of Wikipedia. And her eventual murder. On October 31st of 1969, a man walking his dog discovered the body of 29-year-old Helen Puttock behind a tenement in the Scotstoun district of Glasgow. Her body was found beside a drain pipe in the back garden of her Earl Street flat. She'd been stripped partially naked, extensively beaten about the face before being raped and then strangled to death with one of her own stockings. The contents of her handbag had been scattered close to her body, although the handbag itself was missing from the crime scene. Grass and weed stains upon the soles of Puttock's feet and shoes indicated that she had engaged in a ferocious struggle with her killer. She had evidently at one point attempted to scale a nearby railway embankment. Her body also bore a deep bite mark on her upper right thigh. As had been the case with the two previous victims, Helen had been menstruating at the time of her murder. Her murderer had placed her sanitary towel beneath her left arm. The evening prior to her murder, Puttock and her sister Jean Langford had been to the Barrowland Ballroom, where both had become acquainted with men named of John. One of these individuals had said he worked as a slater who resided in Catsmilk, where the other individual had been a well-spoken man who did not disclose where he actually lived. After being in the company of these two individuals for an excess of an hour, all four left to Barrowland to head home. The individual named John, who had been Jean's dance partner, walked to George Square to board a bus, while Langford Puttock and the individual who had been Puttock's dance partner hailed a taxi. The trio set off to Glasgow Cross, making a 20-minute westward journey toward Jean's Knightswoods residence. There she exited the taxi, which then continued towards Puttock's Scotstoun residence. During conversations between the trio upon this journey, most of the crucial information pertaining to the killer's psychological profile became apparent. Langford later informed detectives that her sister's companion had been a teetotal individual who repeatedly quoted from the Old Testament stories of Moses during the time of she and her sister had conversed with him in the taxi. He also refers to the Barrowland as an adulterous den of iniquity and of his disapproval of married women visiting the premises, as the quartet had retrieved their coats at the end of the evening. She had herself alighted at the taxi at Keslow Street before viewing the taxi turn towards Earl Street. The suspect was described by Puttock's sister Jean Langford as being tall, slim, and well-dressed, a young man with reddish or fair hair rounded neatly at the back, aged between 25 and 30, and approximately 5 feet 10 inches in height. This individual had given his name as either John Templeton, John Semslin, or John Emerson, and he had been a polite and well-spoken individual, having frequently quoted from the Old Testament during the trio's taxi ride home, although he had indicated he was neither a Catholic nor Protestant individual. She would also state to investigators it became increasingly clear to her, as the trio had ridden the taxi, that this individual had considered her presence in the vehicle to be an inconvenience. At one point during the ride, the individual had explained to the woman the reason he refrained from consuming alcohol was due to his being conditioned so by a strict parental attitude, before adding, "I don't drink at homogeny, I pray," and had also alluded to his father's belief that dance halls were dens of iniquity.
and any married woman who frequented these premises being adulterous by nature. Although Langford had informed detectives that the man accompanying Puttick had been a slim, tall individual who had been dressed in a well-cut brown Reed and Taylor brand suit who smoked Embassy cigarettes, she also recalled this individual mentioning that he had been familiar with several drinking premises in the York District of Glasgow and that he had at one stage worked in the laboratory. She also recalled distinct facial features of this man, such as his having overlapping front teeth. Bouncers at the Barland Ballroom dismissed much of this description, claiming that the man in Puttick's company had been a short and well-spoken individual with black hair. The last possible sighting of the suspect was made by both the driver and conductor upon a night service bus, who noted a young man matching Langford's description, alighting a bus at the junction of Dumbarton Road and Gray Street at approximately 2 a.m. on the 31st of October. He was in a particularly disheveled state, with mud stains in his jacket and a livid red mark on his cheek just beneath one eye. Both witnesses also recall his repeatedly tucking a short cuff of one sleeve into his jacket sleeve. A man's cuff link had been found alongside the body of Helen Puttick. This individual was last seen walking towards a public ferry to cross the River Clyde on the south side of the city. The murder of Helen Puttick held remarkable similarities to the two previous murders, further raising suspicions that all three murders had been committed by the same individual. All the victims had been mothers of at least one child and had met their murderer at the Barland Ballroom. The handbag of each woman was missing. Each victim had been strangled to death, and at least two of these women had been raped prior to murder. In addition to the three women had been escorted home by her killer and murdered within yards of their doorstep, and all had been menstruating at the time of their death. Each had had her sanitary towel or tampon placed upon beneath or near her body, leading to speculation that the women had been murdered for their refusal to engage in intercourse with their murderer, excused by their periods. Within hours of discovery of the body of Helen Puttick, an additional composite drawing of the suspect was created using the detailed description provided by her sister. Langford saw the earlier image created after the murder of Jemima MacDonald and believed it was an excellent likeness. Detective Superintendent Joe Biede asked the public to closely study this composite drawing should it resemble anyone they knew. Due to the suspect's hair being unfashionably short for the era, over 450 hairdressers in and around Glasgow were shown the updated composite drawing of the suspect, and all dentists in around Glasgow were asked to examine their records to determine whether they held records of a male patient with overlapping incisors and a missing tooth in the upper right jaw. Both lines of inquiry proved fruitless. More than 100 detectives were assigned to work full-time on the case, and 50,000 witnesses' statements would be taken in subsequent door-to-door inquiries. Ultimately, more than 5,000 potential suspects would be quizzed in relation to the murders in the first year of the inquiry alone, and Jean Langford would be required to attend over 300 identity parades, although she was adamant none of the individuals required to participate in these identity parades had been the individual with whom she had last seen her sister, and all would be cleared of any involvement. Fearing that the perpetrator would strike again, a team of 16 detectives were instructed to mingle with dancers at all dance halls in Glasgow. In particular, these detectives frequented the Barland on Thursday and Saturday nights, as the over 25s events where each victim were presumed to have met her murderer. Despite the extensive manhunt, no further developments should arise, and the investigation into the three murders gradually became cold, with many individuals assigned to the case opining that the perpetrator had either died, been jailed for an unrelated offense, had been incarcerated at a mental hospital, or that senior police officers had known his actual identity but had been unable to prove he had committed the murders. Others speculated that he may have simply moved away from the Glasgow district or murdered wherever in the vicinity. This possibility prompted police to circulate multiple copies of the composite drawing of all British Army, Navy, and Air Force bases in the United Kingdom, Europe, and in the Middle and Far East. This potential line of inquiry failed to produce any significant leads. So, this character, if you're profiling him, I'm going to kind of go on the area of he's one of these guys who is uber religious, but has these feelings of doing things that are sexual and can't square it up with his religion.
And then he feels guilty and he feels like he's doing the right thing by killing these, as he'll view it, whores, after he himself rapes them, which is fucking insane. But you see this time and time again in society where these people get so hung up on their religious beliefs that they attack people that they view as being like uber sinners, but at the same time, they violate them in such a horrendous way that it makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, to you and I, because our brains don't think like that.
No.
But it's like these sinning women, I'll yeah. show them. And what baffles me is like the fact that all of them were on their period. And how do you figure that out in conversation? Yeah. So you have in your period?
Like, hey, enjoy this dance. So you have in your period. I mean,
so I would really like to have sex with you later. Are you on your period?
Like, what is he like, a bomb sniffing dog, and he's able to like?
No, I think that's so strange.
It is. It's very weird.
Because, and just for it to randomly happen is just as strange.
It is. Yeah, I don't.
I don't get that.
I don't know how
and
this
maybe
all
we'll
happens.
Find like out that. More.
Yeah.
I don't know that that can be explained.
Yeah. But I think psychologically, that's what we're dealing with here. It's someone,
oh, absolutely.
A fundamentalist of some sort that just goes too far.
Making him pay.
Exactly.
You're sinning and I'll show you. And so it's kind of punishment. But at the same time, what he's doing is horrific. It's way more horrific. Way more horrific than... And none of them had sinned.
I know.
I mean, that we know of. It's like they were just out dancing
well,
and having
some fun. And that's they're out dancing and they're unwed mothers or whatever bullshit this motherfucker's gonna have in his mind that he's been instilled with to hate women. I mean, there's obviously a lot of hate here. I wouldn't be surprised if this person had been abused by women, had some sort of traumatic thing going on, like a mother or something like that. And it's not to make any sort of excuse whatsoever. It's just profiling the individual and go, what? He has a hate for females for some reason. And he's going to back it up with his religious beliefs, and that's going to justify it. And he does it, and then he disappears. And I mean, he's probably long dead by now, but that's likely what we're dealing with here. And also another reason why you should never put extreme, horrible beliefs into someone's head as a child, because you can fuck with people pretty good and not everybody just balances that shit out and is like, I'm going to move on from this. No, some turn into horrible fucking rapists like this and they go, I hate women now. And it's extreme anything is never a good idea.
Yeah, but the people who would be instilling that into someone like him, they don't think they're extreme. They think they're right.
Yeah, and that's the problem. They think they're right. And then you end up having somebody who cheats on his wife and then goes on a child porn spree online and opens a car dealership and ends up on a television show with 19 children and counting. And he's one of those 19 kids and he fucks around with his sisters and their friends. Duggar! But hey, but let's look at those fun pictures of the family because they're nice and Christian and religious. And like, no, you created a fucking monster. And that's what your belief system did.
And just because he has those urges, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, who knows what happened to him. And this is a whole nother topic. We do talk about this every week, but
it's on the next episode.
But the way they, and who knows really how it was dealt with when he was originally had admitted to what he did with those his sisters and,
Duggar,
and the other girls. But it just seems like he just got away with it.
Yeah, he did. He completely got away with it.
Of course, they dealt with it, but how did they deal with it? You know, and I think a sexual issue at a very young age is very difficult to deal with. And I
it is. Yes.
It would take a whole lot more than, you know, he'd talk to the pastor.
And then to see the fucker out there like, oh, we're still getting together for Thanksgiving and everybody's this happy, lovely family that America loves us, blah, 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 blah. I would want to see that fucker hanging from a tree. If I were one of those kids that had that shit happen to me, and be like, no, we're not getting together and we're all good and forgive and forget. Fuck that.
So weird. That one's weird.
Yeah.
And anyway, we'll talk about that.
We'll get to that when we get to the weekly news update in the Duggar chapter, which we have in every news update edition of our program.
Because there's something every week.
There is. I mean, when I put that show together, all I have to do is Google Duggar and like, what's the latest story? And there's always something new, always somebody new saying some sort of shit. So, yeah, that's a whole other episode. But the thing is, in modern times, that's what we deal with. But that's, you know, it's that fundamental thing that just, it's not good. It's, and I'm not anti-religion. I'm anti-super fundamental. Let's brainwash people. This is the only way. That's the only way. And if you don't, you should die way. The only program I'm on where it's like you should die as if you're a rapist. If you're a horrible person, you're killing people, yes, you should die. If you have a slightly different belief system, if you're an unwed mother, no, you should not die. You should live your life and have a good life.
Here's the thing, that even if you're an unwed mother, example you just gave, it's always the women who get blamed.
Exactly. It's so fucked up.
There was a guy who had sex with her and left her on her own to care for a child. You know, it's not like,
but he's off. Like, yeah, he's okay. But it's like, but let's blame the victim here. Like, it's so fucked up the way that whole thinking works. And it's just so disturbing. Mm-hmm. And it makes zero fucking sense. And that's where it's like, my mind runs in circles like a hamster wheel. Like, how do you make sense of this? How do you make sense of this? Like, you can't. You cannot make sense of it unless you jump off the fucking wheel and be like, okay, I'm stopping here. What the fuck is this? And it still doesn't make sense. You just know you're off the fucking wheel.
Very true.
But it's just like, but some people are like, I'm off the wheel. This is right. Like, no, it's not. It's not right. Get back on the fucking wheel. Or jump in that tube that leads to the fucking garbage disposal and enjoy your time there. We got the final chapter of this where's the Peter Tobin connection, which we'll go into, which may have actually been Bible John. We'll dive into that. If you want to hear it, become a Dark Sider. That's a supporter of our program. Sign up at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. Go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider. Get access to that final chapter, as well as all of our episodes in their entirety, all the final chapters, advanced episodes of the show, all of it commercial free, which helps keep our show on the air. Without it, we would not exist. So me and Carol will see you on the final chapter, patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia.
Allergy season always has a way of sneaking up on you. One minute you're listening to your favorite podcast, the next it's nonstop sneezing and a runny nose. That's why it's essential to keep Kleenex Ultra Soft tissues on hand. They're silky soft for up to 100% irritation-free skin and allergist approved. So when allergies hit, and they will, be ready with Kleenex Ultra Soft tissues. For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Allergy season always has a way of sneaking up on you. One minute you're listening to your favorite podcast, the next it's nonstop sneezing and a runny nose.
That's why it's essential to keep Kleenex Ultra Soft tissues on hand. They're silky soft for up to 100% irritation-free skin and allergist approved. So when allergies hit, and they will, be ready with Kleenex Ultra Soft tissues. For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Allergy season always has a way of sneaking up on you. One minute you're listening to your favorite podcast, the next it's nonstop sneezing and a runny nose. That's why it's essential to keep Kleenex Ultra Soft tissues on hand. They're silky soft for up to 100% irritation-free skin and allergist approved. So when allergies hit, and they will, be ready with Kleenex Ultra Soft tissues. For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Allergy season always has a way of sneaking up on you. One minute you're listening to your favorite podcast, the next it's nonstop sneezing and a runny nose. That's why it's essential to keep Kleenex Ultra Soft tissues on hand. They're silky soft for up to 100% irritation-free skin and allergist approved. So when allergies hit, and they will, be ready with Kleenex Ultra Soft tissues. For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Allergy season always has a way of sneaking up on you. One minute you're listening to your favorite podcast, the next it's nonstop sneezing and a runny nose. That's why it's essential to keep Kleenex Ultra Soft tissues on hand. They're silky soft for up to 100% irritation-free skin and allergist approved. So when allergies hit, and they will, be ready with Kleenex Ultra Soft tissues. For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I'm proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.